colleague Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Get up off your ass and get up on the podcast! Rich Police Radio! Rich Police Radio! Rich Police Radio! Rich Police Radio! Get up off your ass and get up on the podcast! Rich Police Radio!
Welcome to Rich Police Radio. I'm back with a couple of guests who have been on the show before, but it's been a few years. And I find that lately I've been, it seems like almost every second episode is catching up with someone who's been on the show, but not for a long time. And it's kind of nice to, I guess one of the benefits of having done this for an obscenely long time is that I get to sort of follow local artists, you know, throughout their musical careers by checking in every few years. And I think that's kind of what's happening here. So I think the best way to start this off is if the two of you want to introduce yourselves and give a bit of background about the band and what you do, and then we can take it from there. So whoever feels like going first.
Sure, I'll go first. I'm Steph. I'm the lead singer, songwriter, rhythm guitar player of Mise en Scene. We're an indie rock band. Some people call us dream pop, grunge, garage rock.
And I'm Jody, and I play drums.
That's so much more succinct of an answer. But the genre thing, I know everyone hates answering that, and I do kind of want to start there because you named a whole bunch of different genres that I think all do apply to what you do. And you've been doing this for long enough now that, like, do you feel like you have a grasp on sort of what your sound is as a band? Because, I mean, you know, it obviously differs from record to record, and you've, you know, as anyone would, kind of grown as a band and changed your influences and inspirations and things. But do you have sort of a Cole's Notes version of what it is your sound is?
I think for us, something that we've been conscious of our whole career is not putting ourselves in any type of box. And so we've never been a band that hears something and says, let's sound like that.
Sure.
We've been more of a band where, like, Steph's got her influences, I have my influences. And then when they come together, we kind of create our own sound. And also with every record that we put out, the title of, like, what genre it has kind of shifted and changed. And we really don't mind that. We think that it's interesting to both kind of bring our influences in and not say, okay, we want to make a record that sounds exactly like The Cure at this time or something like that, you know? So, yeah, I think that that's something that keeps us interesting and interested in kind of, you know, where we're going.
Do you think it helps that you have been around as long as you have, because you sort of have the luxury to not necessarily experiment, but you have the luxury to shift sort of over time and explore some of those influences and some of those different sounds from record to record?
I think if we did the same thing every single time, we'd probably get bored of it. So, but also at the same time, I don't think that we would change our sound for any specific reason. I don't think that's, like, a luxury of being around for a really long time, but just, like, a luxury of wanting to make art that's true to who you are and not trying to, like, please other people or trying to stay on trend. So it's kind of the way that I would think of it. I mean, we're fortunate to have had the opportunity to explore many different genres, but I don't think it's something that has come just over time. It's always kind of been there.
Okay. No, that's fair.
I'll say too, though, that, like, to be a band as, like, long as we've been a band is, like, I'm realizing as time goes on is, like, actually quite unique. You know, as, like, not being, you know, major superstars, but, like, we've been able to, like, love our craft and do our craft. And, you know, I know people, I'm sure we all know people who, like, start a new band every weekend, you
Definitely.
Know? So, like, for us, it's like, we've been able to, like, creatively, like, grow and give each other creative space to be ourselves. And that's allowed us to, like, develop a sound that has just become inherently ours. And the way we build songs is very specific to that too. And then also just, like, by being around each other for so long and, like, sharing our lives, like, a big part of our lives is this. And, you know, touring and different labels and, you know, different producers and different players, like, all that stuff, like, we've been the consistent ones. So, like, for us to always be, like, the same and throughout all those many years, like, something kind of happens when you're marinating that long together.
Sure.
So, you know, I think, like, it makes things, like, not worrying about genre and where you fall in, things become really easy because we just kind of, like, know what our art is. And even if we're at a different season of our lives, we're still, like, within the world that is Mise en Scene.
That makes sense for sure. And I don't want to dwell too much on the genre thing, but I feel like we're in an era where everything needs to be categorized neatly, and a lot of things can't be. And I think that maybe that's a good thing, is not having that, not being able to be put in a box, whether it's deliberately or not. I guess I do want to talk about your new record, which is kind of why we're here. But, you know, what you were just saying made me think, what do you think it is that works between the two of you? Because, you know, this has been a long time. You've been a band. You put out a lot of music. You've toured. This has been a very large part of both of your lives. Why do you mesh so well together creatively? Because, like you said, a lot of people are starting bands every second week. And a lot of that is personality conflicts, or it's something about the people involved that just doesn't work. And obviously, in your case, something does work.
Well, like, I'm Jody, I'm curious what your answer is to this, but I'll take a stab at it first. One, Jody and I are, like, true artists. Like, and I'm not saying that, like, we're true artists and you're not. Like, we make art. Like, before we made music together, we made, like, Jody was a painter. She was a photographer. And she still does all those things. And I was a painter, and I was a filmmaker, and I was a photographer. And we were all these, like the art world just kind of spoke to us. And you know, when you are that kind of a creative person and you're around all those different creative types all the time, and like especially when you go to school for something like this and you're putting your art up literally to be critiqued by all of your peers in front of you and your teacher in front of you in front of all of your peers, like, you learn how to like take criticism, change direction, challenge yourself, grow, and then for Jody and I, we also just like know how to work as a team. So that's really easy too. So, you know, like when you think about people who like start bands all the time or like creative differences or this or that, like a lot of it is like, some people should just be solo painters, solo artists, and that's fine. Just go do it on your own. Like, if you want to direct what everyone's doing, then go do that. But Jody and I just work as a team. And so when you work as a team with somebody, it's not always your idea. It's not always the one that wins. And like, because like in music, especially with songwriting, like the best idea wins, and like the song's the king and the song is the queen. And like, you are in service to the music. It's not about you. It's about, even though you might be writing something super personal, it's about the bigger picture. It's about like the art. It's not about like me making me want to feel me. It's like, that's just losing the point of it a little bit. So I think, like, to circle back, I think it's just like we know how to take things on the chin, and so we know how to take an L when it's like our idea didn't win, and we can still like be friends, and we can still make music, and we can still get in a tour car together, you know. So I don't know if that relates to you too, Jody. But.
Well, it kind of leads into what I was going to say on my end. And I'm just like, I love your songwriting. I'm a huge fan of Steph's songwriting. I love her guitar playing. So when you have like that creative connection with someone, I'm like, it's so easy for us to get together and play music. And the foundation is music that we really stand by and believe in. And that's not to say we don't ever have those creative differences or we don't ever have tough times, but we don't run away from each other when we do have those tough times, because all of the best relationships in life, I think, take work. And definitely, I think that the foundation of like mise en scene is just, we really believe in what we do. Even if it's not like a massive success, we still stand by our work, and we still are looking to like make that next thing and like get back in the studio. So we're lifers in that way.
Stay.
think this is going to be like a lifetime project? Is mise en scène going to be something that, regardless of where you are sort of in life, you can always get back together and make music together? Is it? It seems like that from an outside perspective, just because of the amount of work you've done and the length of time you've been doing it.
I think so. I mean, I would love to see like a band of 70-year-old women. I think that'd be so cool. There's not enough of those. And so hopefully that'll be us one day.
Right on.
Yeah.
So the reason the timing of this is because you have a new record out. And I think the last time I talked to you on the show was a few years ago. I think you've released more than one album sort of in between that time period. But the one thing I wanted to ask, first of all, about this new album is that the way you've released it, the way you are releasing it, is a little unorthodox in the sense that you put the album out online and then there's a release show happening sort of at a later date. And I know that we're in this weird era where the way people consume music is completely random and there's no real rhyme or reason to it. But what was the decision-making behind that, behind sort of here's the record and then wait a few months and now you can go to the release party?
There was no thought whatsoever.
But you know what, though? And I've been thinking about this, and isn't it always so much more fun when you go to a show and you know all the songs?
Totally.
You know? So I was like, it's kind of cool that some people have listened to the record, they know some of the songs, and they can go and, you know, they're already like looking for the song that they know. So I thought that is a cool thing that just ended up happening. But we were kind of more like, when do we want to have this? When would it be an ideal time for us? And April's a great time. So yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I also think too that, like, I think we're also just really like relaxed releasing this. It has to work within like a lot of complex schedules.
Sure.
And so we're just doing what doesn't stress us out to like a point where it's not fun. Right. So, and that can be really hard for anyone when you're like, you kind of want to go. But I think for us, like, we're just trying to make decisions that like support like the schedules we have and then like the mental health within that.
Sure.
And then, you know, and then just like making sure we're able to be present and enjoying it. And so in terms of like when the release was coming out and then like what dates were available at the venue, like all those things kind of come into play, and then everyone's availability, and then it's,
sure,
like, you know, those sort of things. But it, and like just to go off of Jody's thing too, it's like I'm pumped that people can listen to it and then hear it live and you know, see if we play your favorite song or not.
Well, and I guess it's unique in the sense that you can get feedback about the record before, like, well, before people actually see the official event, right? So has it been a good response,
yeah,
so far? Have you had a lot of response from whether it's friends and family or just random listeners?
Oh, yeah. Like, I think, like, what people are really liking about this one is, like, there's lots of storytelling in it. And there's a lot more acoustic in it. You know, we're really pointing to the songwriting aspect of our band. And it's still catchy, still hooky, all that great stuff. There's still these epic solos. There's like a really, really like strong heartbeat in terms of like the earthiness of like the acoustic and like the groundingness of like the metaphors that are being used and like, you know, the idea of memory and growing up and learning and not learning and unlearning and all those things. So yeah, I think people who I've spoken to and like people that we've been interviewed with, like they are finding it like to be a very impactful record, which is like,
cool,
always really great to feel that that's what they're getting from it.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, and I guess part of it too is, right, like once you've released it, it's kind of out of your hands. It's open to however people want to interpret it. So it's almost taking a risk to release it before the release show, because now if people didn't like it, you could have the opposite effect. But I mean, it's good to hear people are enjoying it. Those changes you mentioned, though, in sort of the way the sound has shifted and maybe the focus on some of the songwriting and some of the subject matter, is that deliberate or is that just sort of organically what has come out of you, the two of you, at this point in time?
You want me to answer that?
Whoever wants to answer. Yeah, I'm curious what both of you have to say about it.
Well, first, I was just going to say that would be so awful if someone, if they were planning on coming to the release and then they heard the record, they're like, actually, no, thanks. So I was just thinking, well, that's funny. But I think, yeah, what was that other question? Sorry.
Just about the way the sound has changed, you know, maybe since the last record or over time in general. Is it something that deliberately, I mean, I know I'm not to focus on the genre,
yes,
thing, but is this just sort of organically what has come out of you in this stage in your lives, in this time of your careers, or is,
yes,
there sort of a planning process of like, okay, we want to maybe emphasize this more or approach songwriting in this way?
I think there was a few different things at play here. One of them was like, we love a big rock record, but we don't want to be like a 1 a.m. dive bar slot anymore. So we were like, you know, let's, and like, we love bringing that energy, but you know, sometimes, not all the time, we've changed a little bit. So we started thinking about some of the music that we found ourselves listening to a little bit more. We started thinking about the type of shows that we wanted to play. We started thinking about how can we keep it mise-en-scene, but make it sound a little bit softer so that we can get more into the lyrics. So I would say that like maybe it was a conscious decision, but it's been one that's been on our minds for a long time. It wasn't like all of a sudden, let's do this. It was kind of something that we've been warming up to for a really long time.
I guess maybe that brings up a secondary question about sort of that, not mellowness, but your older songs, that maybe more the more rock songs that you have in your back catalog, are those songs that can be sort of transformed into this more not so 1 a.m. style, or are you sort of keeping those separate? Like, I mean, are the softer songs, I mean, not even just on this record, but just in general, yeah, throughout your discography, are they separate, or do you find ways to sort of, you know, turn up the volume on the softer ones and then and turn it down on the louder ones?
I think they're kind of together. Like, we didn't have a proper album release for our Winnipeg, California record or our Reality Bites EP. So this show on April 18th is going to be so fun for us because we finally get to play all of those things live. And we have an amazing band. And so we're going to have like a big sound, and it's going to be a little bit like of a roller coaster. But I don't think we're going to try to strip down the more rock ones or pump up the ones that are more like acoustic-y. I think we're going to find a way for them to live together. It's going to be really fun.
Do you how long have these songs been in the works on this record? Is it, I guess in general, how do you work when it comes to writing? Do you, because some people will, you know, will be super meticulous and spend years and years just honing it. Other people will just sort of have a rush of creativity and then that's the record and then they go from there. Like, what's sort of your speed, I guess, as writers and as far as recording?
Well, these ones, there's definitely some older songs that have been like we demoed a long time ago and they just like, either like the demo didn't like sound good enough to want to pursue when we were working with other producers. And then now we are kind of like, no, like this song needs to be done and it's time to do it. And then I would like refine it maybe a little bit or update it a little bit. So there's like maybe like one or two of those on the record. And then there's a lot from just writing like after the Reality Bites EP. So yeah, it's kind of like the collection of songs that were like after the Winnipeg, California and Reality Bites era. And again, like this was also like post COVID, right? So there's like the storytelling of like a world where, you know, things have changed and like, so, and also just a lot of kind of like recollecting, you know. So I think that maybe that's where those songs kind of came from. And then also just like wanting to like tell a story. Like I just think that I was like, I've just been doing a lot of song camps and a lot of like songwriting stuff, and where we're like sharing our music and getting critiqued on it and everything like that. And you know, I'm around a lot of song, like hardcore folk singer songwriters where like it's like every single word matters and right, every single word counts. And so I think the influence of that too probably shaped like where the storytelling aspect came. Like I was obviously influenced to be like more descriptive because of that. Sorry, my dog is barking if you can hear that.
Okay, I have one sleeping right here. I get it.
I'm like, Tilly. But yeah, so yeah, like so there's been like changes and stuff that have like led to like this kind of approach for sure. But I think it's also like just very us. Like we also debated calling this record like Mise en Scene, like self-titled record, because we really felt that this was like just a very us record. Like this is just who we are, or we really felt it was like, this is us. So, you know, like, you know, we joke about the most mise en scene we've ever mise en scene, like, you know, and it's, you know, but so it's kind of like that too, because like, again, like, when we went through some like prolific writing times when we were writing Winnipeg, California, like I'm talking like 50, 60 songs, 20 of them were demoed, 10 were chosen. So, and then like the leftovers, that sounds like they weren't good enough. It was actually really hard to whittle it down and to like make a rounded album for that. There were so many great songs that like needed to be recorded and released. And that's where like the Reality Bites EP came from. But like when we're working with producers, all they want to do is work with like the hit song, like, sure, you know, like, and like, you can't blame them. Like they just want, they want those. And we're just very catchy. So we write a lot of those. So it was nice to kind of like work with Micah, like in The Secret Beach, because he really understands our band. And yeah, like he's such an artist himself that it's like so many things just go without saying, like, which is so great. And, it just made us have like this really well-rounded, like heartfelt album that's still really catchy, that still has all the hooks, that still has like those bigger songs, like the upbeat, more indie rock songs. But there's also like, just like I said before, like there's that heartbeat there. So it's nice to kind of like make it feel like totally us.
With what you just said about, you know, having like a multitude of songs from the previous record that, that you were going through, what at what point do you know a song is ready? Like, what makes a mise-en-scene song that actually ends up on an album? Like, what's sort of the, I guess, the threshold for deciding that, you know, this is, because like you said, there's some are big and hooky, some are a little bit quieter, some are more introspective. Like, how do you know?
For me, I can see it. Like, if I like listen to my little like voice memo, and I just, and I'm walk, like, cause I, whenever I'm writing, I will like walk my dogs and listen to my dem, like my just acoustic guitar voice memo stuff. And if like an acoustic voice memo makes me feel like I can see it, like I can see the story, I can like it, I can't wait till it gets to that part. Like, then I just kind of know it's a good song and it like is ready to get going, you know. What about you, Jody?
Yeah, I was gonna just ask you feel the same way. Yeah,
I feel like there's probably a lot that I don't hear, and those are probably the ones that don't make the cut, because a lot of the ones that I hear, like, and that we work on together, I really love, and then we've got a great collection, and then usually it will come down to like we'll be really passionate about having like six, and then we'll bring in other people's opinions if we're working with a producer or something, or we're trying to round out those six. So I think, yeah, like you probably toss things before you bring them to me if you know they're not right, but mm-hmm. we'll bring in some outsider opinions on to kind of refine things near the end, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so the, obviously this is coming out, you know, before the release show, if you're listening to it at the time it comes out. But because I apparently can't stop making this podcast, it'll be around forever and someone could be hearing it, you know, 3 years from now. What's 10 years from now, whatever. What is the best way for people to hear your music? I mean, whether they're, you know, first of all, do you want, if you want to plug the show, I mean, this is a great place to do that. But then afterwards, you know, where can people find your stuff just sort of writ large?
Well, the best place to see us is at The Times Changed on April 18th, 2026. That is our release show. Chris Ulrich is opening. It's going to just be such a great show. We've got such a great band, honestly. Like, I really, really hope people come and check it out. It's so good. But in terms of just like listening to it, like, honestly, we're on all the streaming platforms, so you can find us everywhere. And there's no preference. It's whatever you like to listen to it on, that's where you can find us.
Yeah, we don't get paid from any of them, really. So
no one does. Yeah.
But we will have vinyl and merch at the album release, too. And if you listen to the album and you hate it, you should still come and support.
Yes. Well, yeah, I will say that, too, because, like, if we don't go to live shows, then, like, live shows stop
100%.
Happening.
So 100%, yeah.
You gotta, you know, and it's... It's so much fun. Like,
I'm so excited about this show because we've never done like a live thing where we're playing like our three releases that we haven't had a celebration for. So it's a huge deal for us. And
yeah,
it's exciting.
How long is the show going to be? Three. I know one's an EP.
It's going to be like Taylor Swift. It's going to be each era. We'll have their own. Just kidding. We'll do outfit changes.
Costume changes. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. We don't know. We gotta refine those little details, but I think it'll be a longer one of ours. Well, a normal mise en scene set, we usually only like to do 45 minutes. So maybe we'll pull it up to like an hour and 15 or something.
Like, we're not playing front to back every album.
No,
we're
of course. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a curfew.
Not yet, I guess, right? I mean, eventually you might have enough that you can pull it off. But the other thing I was going to ask is, you know, regardless of when someone hears this, presumably you have more shows that will happen in the future. You have more releases that will come out in future years as well. What's the best way to follow sort of what you're doing on that front as far as shows, new music, other fun stuff?
Yeah, that's just like right now, like where you find everyone's stuff. So currently it's, you know, Facebook, Instagram. I will say that, like, we've just decided that we're just like slowly like stepping away from all of those things, not necessarily in like the fact that we're like going dark, but like it's just like going to be a place where you can find information about us. Like, we're not going to be like
we're not going to be doing a what's in my bag. We're not going to be, you know,
what I eat in a day. And we've just like decided that TikTok is a no for us. So you can find us on that. That's where you can find all of the stuff. Any information you're looking for from us will always be like posted there. So if you follow us, Mise en Scene Band for Instagram and Facebook, that'll usually like catch you and all that stuff. So that's where you should hang out.
Didn't once the world will fall apart. No one here cares, they're waiting for you to start. They say
stop.